This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.
September 1st, 1969. 10-year-old Tom Warner experienced what he believes can only be identified as contact with extraterrestrials. While at a friend's house, Warner recalls hearing a voice compelling him to go home. After leaving out the door at a sprint, Tom's next memory is of being pinned bodily to the ground by a bright beam of light from the sky. The bright shaft of light was comprised of a variety of colors that, to this day, Tom says he cannot identify. That evening, dozens of witnesses reportedly saw strange lights moving through the skies above their small Massachusetts town. There were claims that the local radio station was inundated with calls regarding these mysterious illuminated objects. For one family, their experience on this night would be a much closer encounter with these otherworldly craft. This case file joined the theorists as they take a seat at one of the only parks dedicated to an off-world event in the Berkshire UFO event.
Welcome to K-Alien Theorist Theorizing Case File 242, the Berkshire UFO. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
Wait, what did you say? What was the word you said at the start?
You threw me off. You threw me off because...
You shit the bed. Well, don't put it on anybody else.
Well, I should have been ready.
You dropped the fucking ball.
I thought Zell was just playing theme music because sometimes he plays the music beforehand.
Oh, no.
Because he usually goes, I'm muting you, idiot.
He did say that.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Did he? Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're screaming, telling a story. Buddy. You just didn't hear it.
That's what happened there. And then, so when you came in, you like pointed, I was like, ooh, it's go time. And I was like, usually I have to ask Dan and then I ask Andrew what number this is and what the name is and to say it for me. So it was a lot of pressure on me tonight to just get that out there. It was pretty difficult.
Sounds like we really put you on the spot today, this week, especially.
Yes. if you're listening to this case file, Pickle Baby has been flying off the shelves. As of this case file, as you're listening to it, when does it come out? The 15th, I think. You've got 2 weeks left and then Pickle Baby's off the shelves. You might not get another shot at it. We have a rotating merch store. Go check it out, alientheorist.com. Click on our merch page, or you can go to crowdmade.com, search Alien Theorist Theorizing, get your Pickle Baby merch.
That's the new start to the show. The Pickle Baby.
Yeah.
Sales pitch.
Listen, we should just be the Pickle Baby podcast.
Absolutely, we should.
Telling different Pickle Baby stories. That's what the people want.
All two of them.
The Pickle Baby's been sweeping the nation.
It's going to be the new Furby, I think.
This year's hot toy.
Dude,
we should message
buddy, you want to pickle me? You want that pickle me, tickle me, Elmo? You got Pickle Baby. It's same thing. Yeah. What do you want?
Tickle, huh? Pickle Baby.
Yeah, you tickle the pickle, huh? Tickle the pickle. Number one good price, just for you.
Brutal. This week, not just talking about pickle babies.
No.
Not just talking about pickle babies.
We are also reluctantly talking about other stuff as well. Berkshire UFO. Pretty famous case. Like, they say one of the like biggest accounts of a UFO sighting, corroborated UFO sighting in the world.
But it wasn't famous for a long time. It seemed to like come right. back throughout the history. Because if you go back, like, I bet you if you're like in late 1960s, no, the nation didn't hear about this. The world didn't hear about this story.
Yeah, this one is unique.
It's because fucking WSBS deleted those tapes.
God damn it.
This one's pretty special because it does have an official historic monument that goes along with it.
Does it still?
Well, not anymore.
it had a historic monument.
We're going to build it up and then cut you down.
It does have a memorial park now. So yeah, okay. It does have that. And there are
it's got one bench.
Used to have two. Yeah. Now it has one bench. But it has anywhere between two or three plaques there. I'm pretty sure.
Shit. 2 to 3 plaques.
But it is a certified historical event by the town's historical society. So it is marked
by the town's tourism bureau. I mean, what? Sorry, what did you say?
So yes, we're talking about the Berkshire UFO incident. And if you're not familiar
things don't exist in history unless they've been
unless they make money.
I'm saying it's like
this happened.
This
happened.
It does have the claim to being one of the few, I guess it could be categorized as off-world events that have been certified by the historical society of the area in which it occurred. So they can make that claim, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they were outvoted 6-2.
Yeah, city council and three were away.
Yeah. So the specific event that we're talking about occurred in September 1st of 1969. And so somewhere between, depending on where you look at it, it is between dozens and up to about 40 people in Berkshire County, Massachusetts, reported claims of seeing a UFO. Now, the Berkshires is a region of rural highlands in western Massachusetts, and it pretty much it's just large swaths of wilderness, and it's actually a pretty popular tourist destination for hikers and people who want to go see the leaves change, I'm pretty sure.
September 1st for you guys in the States, is that a long weekend usually as well, like the first couple days of September?
Labor Day.
Yes.
It's Labor Day.
I wasn't sure if Labor Day, if they did labor in the States as well. Or if that was just a Canadian thing.
I'm pretty sure this whole event is actually where the whole stigma, you don't wear white after Labor Day, comes from, because everybody that got abducted was wearing white. So after that, they're like, fuck it, we can't wear white after this day.
Yeah, just don't.
That checks out.
This region States, though, New England, it's got to be the most unoriginal named place, because it's just identical to a bunch of this, all of England. It's just the same names just now on this side of the pond. They showed up, they're like, we liked home. We're just going to call this the exact same name.
Those names are good enough.
We'll
just put the other ones over here.
Let's just put these ones, the exact same ones.
Hilarious. They should have added new to more things, like New Berkshire.
This is true.
Right?
Fucked that up with that good. One.
Is that what they did with New Hampshire?
New York, new everything.
New York?
England. The whole area is called New England.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
They took all the fucking counties of England and just renamed them.
Why didn't
them.
We do that after? Just put newer in front of it.
Oh.
That would have been better.
That would have been great, yeah.
The farther you go out west, the newer the towns are.
Newest.
Newest.
Newest England.
New West Bank.
Yeah.
So this one concerns one Thomas Reed and his family. So,
they're just some of the accounts. This is probably the, I would say, the best account or the most popular account.
This is the account that everything stems from. This is this is the first one that was popularized.
So there are people who witnessed some of the UFOs. Like, they witnessed seeing something strange lights in the sky during the night of September 1st, 1969. Yeah.
And then there were some people that got Vecna'd on the grass in the field.
Mm.
So you have Thomas Reed and his mother, Nancy, also his grandmother and his younger brother, Matthew, who were in their station wagon following an equestrian event. I guess they were horse people in a nearby resort.
Quite town. Right.
So they were headed home and Nancy was driving and the grandma was in the passenger side with the younger brother, Matthew, and Thomas in the back seat. So they decided to take a shortcut home over what is known as the Sheffield Bridge, which is one of the, now it's a pretty much a documented landmark. At that time,
yeah, you can only walk over it now.
Right. At that time, you could still take road traffic. So this is Sheffield Bridge is very much like the it's a covered bridge that you would imagine seeing, you know, picturing in Bridges of Madison County.
Also stole the name from UK.
Yeah, also that is the bridge that if you cross it, the headless horseman can no longer cut your head, right?
I think so.
Maybe.
Is it a pedestrian only now bridge because they're worried about the weight of like,
right.
wrecking the bridge?
Well, it's not even the original bridge anymore.
They can't recreate these events. They shut her down after this. They don't want anybody else get abducted. Come on.
My thought was like, if they're worried about the weight, I was like, man, everyone's car was 4 tons back then. Solid steel.
Yeah, I think it's got 7,000 pound boats. Yeah.
It's not even the original bridge anymore. To my knowledge, it's like the original bridge burnt down in like 94, 95. And then the one that's up now, if you go, because you can go there and visit it. The one that's there now is a rebuilt replica of the bridge.
Just really tiny.
So the events that occurred around 8:30 p.m. that evening. Now, Thomas remembers that his grandmother became fixated on some sort of lights that seemed to appear at the left rear side of their vehicle. And so in an interview with 9news.com Australia, he made these remarks great concerning channel. The event. So this is what he remembers. So, quote, there was light coming through the bottom boards of the bridge. So they like the sudden flash of these lights that seemed to be coming through the board.
Glowing up, yeah.
Right. And now as we left the bridge and came out the other side, we saw what looked like a self-contained sphere.
Dan, I got to tell you, this just does not sound authentic at all. Then my ma was driving wicked fast, right?
Yeah. Ma, it was a light. Come on. We said, Ma, pull the car over.
Ma, let's go, Ma. Bang a fucking Yui, Ma. It's wicked piss over here, Ma.
Yes, I'm sure those accents are accurate. That's exactly, that's not what he sounds
Ma,
like.
We're going to be late getting to the garden. Should we stop at the parlor? Ma.
So these white lights, from what Thomas remembers, seem to be shooting out several thin directional laser-like poles is what he said. Like these solid beams of light from each side.
Like a fucking
of
Pink Floyd concert, man. That'd be awesome.
That's basically, dope. Yeah. It's like from this floating orb of light, you have laser lights being shot out of it.
Now, the light, he said, retracted into the sphere and then slowly moved around the line of trees going in the same direction they were, like past the bridge. And he says that his brother also happened to notice a second round sphere off to the right of the car that looked like it was actually sitting underwater.
Oh, shit. They're getting surrounded.
Fuck's sake.
So you maybe have some sort of transmedium here now, like a light source under the water, above it. Just happened to see these giant glowing fucking orbs in the middle of the night, 8:30 p.m. as they're driving in the dark.
Then he said at this point, things felt odd, like the atmosphere had changed. And he said he compared it to almost being like being underwater as the car kind of slowed. And then he says he remembers or he recalls a kind of tapping sound like you can hear from being inside a pool. So when you go underwater in a pool, you know, sometimes you hear like the popping sounds.
Another description I heard of it, he said kind of like if someone was underneath the car and was like knocking a rock into the wheel well, like dunk, dunk, dunk. Like you could hear it from underneath the vehicle.
And now Nancy, Nancy apparently tried to accelerate, tried to escape what was happening or get away.
Ma, drive the fucking car. Faster, Ma.
Within moments, the engine died.
Wasn't driving fast enough.
Come on, Nance. Turn the keys.
And
let's
then
go.
Thomas Reed says that he remembers.
Matt, jig of the khakis.
Come on, Matt. We're going to be fucking late, Matt.
There was a silence and then followed by an eruption of sound, of nature sounds. He says crickets and katydids chirping all over.
Like that.
He remembers this.
It was not like the sound gone.
It wasn't like the sound just cut out and then came back. It's like all of those sounds like got louder.
Like, in the car, like you're part of it all of a sudden.
I wonder, like, whatever is, let's assume that those lights are some type of craft or something. Like, could they be, like, whatever their propulsion system or whatever, could they be, like, bending time and space and completely, like, just warping reality?
100%.
And that's why they're...
I think.
And you hear that all this stuff of, like, from all...
You get multiple timelines of crickets.
Yeah.
Amplified through the car.
Yeah. Because you're by a water source, right? So like all of a sudden the frogs and stuff. But I'll say this, that like if everything goes dead silent, there's an eerily silent and like something spooks, like, well, I guess frogs usually go quiet because there's this little stream where I go take the dog for a walk sometimes and you'll be walking and sometimes you're walking by and the frogs get insane loud walking. And then as the dog will like try to go sniff one out, they all just in unison will just go dead quiet. So like it is kind of weird that like, as they're in this car, this noise just becomes like so immense that it.
Well, I also heard that all the roads in Berkshire were actually made with volcanic porous rock. So there's no sound there. It gets, you know, like we learned that. Imported from Japan.
Thick moss. Yeah. Was it covered in thick moss?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Now,
wicked moss.
So the bending The bending or warping of time may explain what happened next, because just what felt like moments later, the whole entire family found themselves in what seemed to be some type of holding area. And they remember the air being some type of like being hot, humid, and stale is how they describe it.
Sounds awful.
Now, Tom remembers bits and pieces of what happened after he remembers the sounds and being taken on this ship. Like there are just bits and pieces that he remembers. And I think he says it lasting somewhere between 3 hours, I think is what he said. Like it is like there's missing time there. Something happened, but he remembers bits and pieces of what occurred
flashes.
Or what he claims to have occurred. So he remembers some type of a figure grabbing him and grabbing his left arm and then escorting him down a hallway into what seemed to be an examining room that had air that was different from where he was being held before. Like this, while the air that he was being, some say a holding pen or something, was hot and humid, this one he described it as being crisp and cool. Then after that, he said that
he's in the vegetable drawer. Is what you're saying?
Well, it reminds me almost like a fucking an operating room or something.
That's what I was thinking too. It's like when you go outside, like you know, you go into the ER or something. You know, you go through some doors and stuff. The air is noticeably different.
Well, it's just it's sanitized. It's cold. It's weird.
So in this room where the air was crisp and cool, he said he was forced to lie on a silver white table. But for some reason, he wasn't restrained at all. And, you know, being a 9-year-old kid and being absolutely terrified, he said that he was able to spring up from the clutches or, you know, he wasn't being held down at all. And
that was your first mistake. I'm wicked fast.
He managed to get up off the table and then run outside of the room and said outside of this room, he kept running until he entered into this what he describes as an angled open area. And it seemed to be about as wide as he compared it to a basketball court. And then it had a single hall off to the left and then multiple halls off to the right. And that's where he said that he heard voices, right? But moments later, he was actually recaptured, and then returned to the room.
So when he woke up, he's alone. He managed to escape the table. He's now snooping around the hangar. Is that what's happening?
Well, right. Yeah, one of the accounts that, I don't know if he was alone when they laid him down or he was laid down and then left unattended for a moment.
That's what I mean. When he woke up, there's no one there. So he's trying to snoop around this hangar.
Right. They pulled him from his account. He was saying that he assumes that the family was being held in separate areas, and that he was taken and he was taken into this room. And then when they put him on the table, either they turned around or they left him unattended to for a second, and he managed to escape briefly out into this other section of the craft, or what you assume is the craft that he's been taken onto. Now, Tom does have some recollection of the creatures or the beings that had taken him onto the ship. He's done more than a few of artistic renderings. He's had artists kind of sketch out what he believes or what he describes as that he saw these creatures look like. And so I know we have a picture. I have it in the notes. I don't know if you pull it up, show it on this live stream.
I can't remind. I tried that yesterday in the power hour, and then I can't pull my camera back up.
So I'll let Brayden go ahead and describe it as best he can.
No, I can't do it either. Basically,
I can show the live stream, but I can't show you guys.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this, what it looks like is imagine me in the deepest of squats, pants down, but my elbows are inverted the other way. That's basically it. But
you
got the glebe sack exposed on the bottom.
If you're just listening and not watching, the glebe sack is huge on this fucking crouching alien.
You know what it kind of reminded me of? Like, it looked like one of those viruses or, you know, those ones that kind of land like that. I can't remember.
This guy's all glebe sack.
Yeah, it's very, if you saw this thing, it would be terrifying. It's body build. It's so alien.
I'd take my chance with that thing.
if that thing's biological, like say it's like a regular animal, it's a twig, you snap its arms off.
Oh yeah, dude, oh, yeah. And it's all head. It's
Let me tell you something.
Big ass target.
I kick it right in the glebe sack so hard, yeah. Grab its arm bar, snap that baby off, and club him to death with it.
I would fucking speed bag that glebe sack.
Full splits.
Johnny Cage, son.
I would punt that thing so hard that it would be standing straight. If you look at this thing, because it looks like, honestly, the way it stands, it looks like an M.
I'd hit this fucking guy so hard that the guy behind him would feel it in his fucking glebe sack. All right? Fuck this guy.
So he describes these creatures as being some sort of insectoid in their appearance. Yeah, they've got these elongated limbs. They seem to have, you know, three or four digits, like one that looks like some sort of opposable thumb. And then they've got their joints seem to be somewhat inverted, and they've got they kind of sit down in a low crouch, and then it's got a large elongated head, which kind of it resembles that of a gray, but a little bit different. Like, it doesn't seem to have a mouth. It's got maybe ear hole, like holes where the ears should be. And then it seems to have some other smaller holes, like where you would assume like a nose or some sort of olfactory system would sit.
The one thing I couldn't figure out is, because I've like hearing, you know, him describe these things and then seeing these artistic renditions, I could not for the life of me figure out how this thing walked. Does it walk around like a crouched Zoidberg, or does it lean over on all fours?
It leans over on all fours.
You think so?
There's no way it's walking with those legs at that angle.
That angle? Yeah.
I don't think so.
Unless
there's four legs and he only seen two.
Yeah, because if you look at it, like if you put it down on all four, it looks like it would be walking almost like a fucking dag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like the way the body is?
Except it does... The artist rendition, I'm not saying this is
actually more like a spider. That thing looks like a spider.
It's just because it has like a knee joint, but it doesn't have an ankle joint. So it's just like a twig at the foot.
But this is just his, like, that's listen, what I mean. Maybe it's the guy just, couldn't draw ankles.
Yeah, he described it, someone drew it.
Right. This is his memory from nine, he was 9 years old when this occurred. And then
the artist is like, Crayola.
Yeah, the artist is like, hey, what about the ankles? He goes, man, forget, don't worry about it. I don't remember ankles. Those. Just... leave out the ankles. He's like, okay.
That was the weirdest part. They didn't have ankles.
Yeah. Straight.
So,
it's so hard to walk.
Maybe he just walks. Maybe he's got like four or five toes, and the toes just move really fast side to side, and he just scurries along.
That's fucking creepy.
That's what it could be. He doesn't
just side of woo.
His knee, the knee joints and hip joints don't move. It's just, yeah, it's just side to side.
Just toes.
That's what I'm picturing here.
I hate that. I hate that so much.
Like each foot is like a little centipede.
Exactly. Yeah, it just kind of scurries around.
That's terrifying.
So once they put Thomas back on, they apprehended Thomas and then brought him back to what seems to be some sort of examination room. They put him back on the table, and this time they restricted his movement with some type of oval-shaped apparatus, is what he said. And he compared it to being similar to the lid on a tanning bed. And it seemed to lower from the ceiling and then was clamped over his torso. Now, after this occurred and that procedure was completed, he said that he sensed some sort of tapping on the back of his head. And then recalled that something like stones that resembled shiny raisins were placed on his face, chest, and leg.
Oh, he's getting a hot stone
massage.
Yeah, hot stone massage.
Hot like raisin it. Massage.
Yeah.
Tanning bed, hot stone massage. These guys are just, it's a spa treatment.
Yeah, it's you wanted to go to the fucking spa.
Spa, man.
Fucking space spa.
Now what really set them up for something happening during this occurrence is that Thomas like says that when they were returned to the car separately, the car was actually facing the opposite direction from what it had been, and that all of their positions had actually changed in the car, how they got in there. So when Thomas did wake up, like this is one of the more vivid things that he remembers, is kind of like coming back, you know, to full consciousness and then everything being different from what it had been prior to seeing these strange lights in the sky. So you had Thomas, who is now seated, you know, who had been in the car, in the back seat before, but he's seated behind the driver's seat now. His mother, who was driving before, has switched positions with his grandmother, and so his grandmother was on the was in the driver's seat. His mom was in the passenger seat, and then he had his brother, who had been awake before, now curled up in the back seat in a fetal position.
So the aliens come down. They abduct this family out of their car. In their haste, they forget to take a picture of the placement of the humans inside the car. On the way back, man, they just go, oh, fuck, who's sitting where?
Buddy, it's even better than that. They're probably like, let's fuck with these guys so hard and put them in the wrong seats.
Who should we put in the driver's seat?
The old one.
And as they come to, did they come to when it was moving and Granny's driving?
No, they didn't all come to right away. Like, one of the things I read was that like Thomas kind of woke up, but like the mom wouldn't wake up. She was like just kind of like, I guess, incoherent or just completely like dead asleep. The brother Matthew is dead asleep, and the grandma doesn't drive. She doesn't like driving. She doesn't want to drive. And she goes, well, some fuck just happened. So you're about to have two fucking NDEs because I'm about to take this car for a joyride. And grandma, who doesn't drive, in this worry of like, hey, something's happened to one of my grandkids, something's happened to my daughter. I'm guessing it's a Plymouth, throws it into drive and fucking peels it around.
Slams the e-brake.
Fucking Yui.
Yeah. Eh? E-brake, yeah. Fucking power slides, turns it around.
Strange. So now with this event, and like we said before, there were other reports coming in during the time frame of
Where did they go again after the Graham before we get to the
They went
next
to go
one.
Get some food.
Graham is just like, wake up, we all need to eat.
They're going after the equestrian show. After the kid after Tom almost got bucked off. Or
so they're already hungry, then they lose 3 hours of time. Now they're really hungry.
Yeah. Well, I can't remember. I thought grandma drove them somewhere. Like a little
I don't know.
I can't remember that. I can't remember where they went now after they wake up.
Well, we're going to say they went for dinner.
I think they just went for dinner, a quiet dinner.
Went to a truck stop. Hopefully they didn't get food poisoning. Hopefully we're not on that scenario all over again.
I'm not getting into that again.
Had they gone to a truck stop before, this would have been case solved.
Food poisoning.
They might have actually. They might have ate before this.
Is that an avenue we didn't look into? Did they stop at fucking Sevi or something and get some bad food?
Some fucking bad beef and cheds?
Yeah, bad beef and chips.
Bad tuna melt, man.
Pep and ched sticks.
They got some of those roller scallops. Hot dogs.
Truck stop scallops.
Taquitos.
Huh. Fucking chowder.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Fucking right. Absolutely chowder.
So that's pretty much that event. There is more to talk about. Before we get into it, though, my beer's empty. We're going to take a quick break, grab a beer. We're going to be right back.
Look, you like Dan, you got a trip to Thailand coming up and you want to impress the locals? Well, then you want Rosetta Stone. It's been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 different languages offered. It's got fast language acquisition. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient, flexible learning anytime, anywhere. Learn on the go with mobile app or at your desktop on your own schedule. Rosetta Stone has amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's a lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
Sure, there's competitors to Rosetta Stone, but Rosetta Stone offers more languages and a lifetime membership. You could go over to Babbel and get 60% off, but it's not for a lifetime. That's why we're promoting Rosetta Stone today. All right, Theorites, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Alien Theorist Theorizing listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your damn life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today or look for the link in the show notes. Peace.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
We're back. All right, I figured it out. So it's, they owned a diner in town.
A diner. You mean
diner?
It's a diner. They had chowder at the diner.
Chowder. I wish I could remember the name of it.
Was it called Wahlburgers?
Yeah. but so they left their diner and they were gonna go eat dinner at another restaurant.
That's okay, so they left their diner and went to their another diner.
They're gonna go to the diner in the car.
Maybe get a burger.
Get a burger.
Some chowder.
Then this incident happens. Right, they wake back up in the car. Mom and Matthew are dead asleep, like they cannot be woken up.
Still,
Thomas and Grandma are in the car, and Grandma, like, who doesn't drive, turns the car around, drives them straight home silently. Just she's like, "Nope, we're not going for dinner anymore." Just straight home. Some reports say they went for help, but I would say, based on all the factors, it sounds like she just drove home silently, and that's where the mom and Matthew kind of come back to, and they're like, "Oh, what happened to us? Let's go inside." But that's where that one leaves off, just to for a little fill in.
So they might have had bad diner food.
Might have had bad diner.
So while this is the most kind of most descriptive encounter to come out from the event, there were other people that said that they claimed to have seen these lights, these specific lights in the area where the reeds had been caught by these things, or they had some people who actually had a little bit of closer encounters as well.
Talk about good old Tammy Warner?
Tom Warner.
You guys want to go in a little bit about Tommy?
Let's hear about Tommy.
As the youngest of seven boys in a family that lived in Great Barrington for five generations, Tommy Warner, 10, had only known the stability routine of small town life. Then, at dusk on Labor Day weekend 1969, Tommy's life would forever change.
Oh, shit.
All right. Tommy, this is weird. This, the little blurb I have written on it, it's a little bit different than I remember hearing in the fucking, in the documentary. But in this account, it says that Tommy was at the neighbor's house playing with some friends. I remember him being babysat by a very strict coloring fucking instructor. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. People color inside the lines.
Yeah, there's this, if you watch the Unsolved Mysteries version of this, they talk about a babysitter and the babysitter's like, Tommy always liked to color outside the lines and I wasn't having it.
I would bang the table.
Yeah, scream at him, inside the lines!
So while he was being threatened for his life for coloring outside the lines, Tommy instantly heard this voice inside his head urging him to leave, go home, now.
Yeah, I would too.
You know, yeah, after that, color. Shit.
I want to fucking color.
So Tommy, you know, as, like, I forget, he was 10 years old, so as any, you know, God-fearing 10-year-old, he thinks that it's God talking to him. So he instantly takes off in an instant sprint running for the door. But on his way home, Tommy seems to just vanish into thin air and doesn't appear for about 7 more seconds. It's during this period of time that Tommy believes he's been transported to a UFO. The next thing he remembers is, this is different too, because I remember this spotlight hitting him and then witnessing him looking like he was running on the spot.
Yeah. So Jane, like Jane comes outside following him as he like leaves. Cause he's got this like voice of God or someone being like, you need to leave. And he runs out. And as he runs out, like a spotlight hits him and he's just full sprinting just in place. Like imagine like you know, like
basically invented the running man in 1969.
Yeah. The full sprint running man. And Jane's just kind of watching like in awe, like having a meltdown, being like, something's wrong. He realizes something's wrong. Like he's just still running. And then he slowly stops. It's at that point where some sort of UFO drops out of the sky and a beam hits him. He says like, this is where he gets like Vecna's. He said it threw his hands back, like arched his back, and he was facing up to the light, like fully,
like right out of a movie.
Stiff, yeah, like just right out of a movie, and all the air is sucked from his lungs. He said, and then you know,
oh, so he died.
No,
he's dead.
So not all the air,
just enough so his lungs didn't suck together and get stuck.
His alveoli did not collapse.
And he's gone. Is he just, he blacks out. He doesn't remember.
And oddly enough, on this same summer evening, just a mile or two away, Melanie Bauman, who was 14 at the time, is enjoying an ice cream cone parked by the lake with her family.
Ice cream cone?
Cone.
Oh.
That's...
Well, they got ice cream from Dairy Queen. Yeah. We know that much.
Yeah, we do.
And I'll say this. I'm like, I don't want to discount this, but like anytime I have a Blizzard from Dairy Queen, I lose all track of time. Someone will knock on the bathroom and be like, are you okay? And I'm like, oh yeah, why? They're like, you've been in there for an hour. And I go, an hour? What happened?
Try to stand up and you're bambi legging it.
Yeah, I can't walk. So I'm suffering from paralysis.
You go to Dairy Queen and you get a Blizzard and you eat it in the bathroom just in case?
No. He gets mud butt is what he's saying.
Yeah, you get the hot snakes.
I thought you like go right to the bathroom and eat it in anticipation so you don't have to leave the bathroom upon eating the Blizzard and so you can just shit at will.
It is.
No, you don't shit at will when you have mud butt.
Brain shits.
It's very sporadic and awful.
It's hot snakes. You're just in there. But yeah, I lose all track of time.
But you continue to eat blizzards on a regular basis?
No. Few and far between, but the outcome's always the same.
But I'm still going to eat them.
He's persistent. Right?
He thinks if he eats them enough, eventually his body will get used to it.
Go back up.
Yeah, his body will get used to it and he'll be fine.
As a fucking fellow lactosey over here, I cut it all, and now if you accidentally have any of it, you're fucking dead.
You're dead.
You die. I die. I'll fucking die. I explode. Spontaneously combust if there's a little bit of fucking cheese.
It'll be like after dinner, and I'm like, oh, sometimes if a sauce is too creamy, like a Caesar dressing does it to me now.
Crushed.
If I'll eat a Caesar salad, I'll be like, Woo.
Well, so you can't even have like a easy going cheese, like a mozzarella or something?
I do. Well, Parmesan. Parmesan yeah, isn't so bad, but I honestly don't fuck with any of it anymore.
And you guys are
anyways. Tough Melanie luck. And her family are enjoying
a nice a cone with their family by the lake in a van down by the river. Suddenly they're shocked to see a blinding light and a huge craft rising out of the water in front of their car. Melanie and her siblings scream and try to hide as their father does what every fucking dad in their right mind would do and attempts to chase after this fucking thing.
Yeah. Not getting away from me. Melanie's screaming in the back to stop.
The next thing Melanie remembers is she's alone in the dark on the sandy lakefront, left to find her family on her own.
Oh, shit.
Like Tommy, she believes she was abducted.
But they don't have any specific memories, like as
Tom,
vivid memories as Thomas
but
does.
Tom does claim that he sees Melanie on the right side of the ship.
He recognizes
wherever he
her
went.
Eyes.
He has a recall, and he remembers seeing
eyes.
The fear in her face. Like he, yeah.
I don't know you, but those eyes.
Yeah, I remember.
And then we have Jane Green, who is 42, a respected citizen of the Great Barrington community, also encounters a UFO. She's driving home with a friend. She sees a huge bright light in front of her car. She stops along with other amazed drivers and witnesses that see the same craft in the air, hovering at eye level, completely silent. Jane says this was the most profound experience of her life.
So we got multiple potential abductees here.
Yeah, on late Labor Day.
Well, they all must have been wearing white. That's the problem.
That's where the lore started. Wear white, get abducted.
Yeah, exactly. That's why nobody does it anymore.
But like, don't fuck even around. Even like Jane, she was with her friend Mary, who's now deceased. But they like got out of the car and they said they saw this huge object like flying over the road.
I kind of, Jane's story, I don't know. After watching the documentary, I was like, oh, I don't know. Because it was, I remember this fucking conversation she had with her son pretty clearly because I thought it was really ridiculous. She basically was like, oh yeah, they're like, there's a Netflix show, come to talk to me. They asked me if I had any idea about this encounter. And I was like, yeah, I saw it for sure. It was amazing. So I had to call my son and I said, hey, I'm getting interviewed by Netflix because I saw this craft. And then my son said he saw it too. And we had no idea, but we both saw it. Isn't that crazy? And it's like, you're going to tell me that you both saw this fucking insanely amazing thing and never mentioned it to each other
never
before?
Never bothered to talk to each other.
Yeah. They were so scared of telling anyone because no one would believe them. They just never did.
I guess.
But yeah, her account is that they got out of the car and there was another car in front of them that stopped. This object floated over the road. She couldn't make out a color. It was really bright. She said it was tall. She couldn't see any windows or anything like that. It wasn't making any noise, no sign of propulsion. And within a few seconds, it just lifted up and drifted over the mountains. She couldn't see it. That was it. Life-changing.
Not enough to tell her son, though.
So, Thomas, after having this encounter, he went on to when this entire event started to become popularized and kind of with the alongside the Netflix kind of revival for Unsolved Mysteries. A little bit prior to that, Tom says that he, even 3 years before this event, he says that him and his brother experienced another type of event, which he believes is within a series. Like this, it was not the only time that they experienced something, that multiple abductions.
Or repeat abductions.
We've talked about it before, right? If these things are researching certain people, especially you'd be interested in Thomas and Matthew and the mom and the grandmother because they've been tagged. And then it's like, if they're coming back, if these things can bend space and time, for them to research Tom throughout his life could be a matter of 45 minutes for them.
It's not only Tom though, too, because in 1954, his mom, when she was a teenager, also had an encounter.
Oh, so we have a family history.
So the family,
multi-generational.
That's exactly what
UFO
contactees. That's what they consider themselves. This entire family consider themselves as.
Well, if say you were a scientist, ET species. You would maybe you want to study the family. You want to
see the generation, the changes.
How does the DNA different between, you know, father and son, mother and daughter. Like you want to go down, take samples, analyze, next generation analyze, you know, do it 4, 5, 6 in a row or
you
more.
You gotta have follow-up appointments.
Right? You have to.
All right. You gotta see how it's going.
You gotta have follow-up
appointments. When you implant the fucking baby inside of her womb and create this alien fucking human hybrid.
You pluck him into the ship. Right?
I mean, come on, the guy's name is Tom and he spells it T-H-O-M. Obviously, he's a hybrid.
It's Thom.
Yeah. Thom.
Thom. Thom. Thomas. That's an alien fucking name if Thomas. I ever heard one myself.
Yeah.
So Thomas's case has actually been investigated by Tennessee MUFON team investigator, Steve White, who actually had him submit to a polygraph exam. So, I mean, they have the documents. They actually, like, Tom has a website where he has posted all the documentation of his participation in the investigation with the MUFON. So he puts in this stuff about the polygraph exam, that they used a licensed polygraph service, which was owned and operated by a retired police officer in Knoxville, Tennessee. And of two questions, the officer had discussed the events in detail for over 3 hours, the ones that occurred in 1966 and the ones that occurred in 1969.
We only briefly touched on the ones that happened in 1966.
Right. So it's like they had some type of event. He talked about in 1966, him and his brother encountering like these cylindrical rings, some type of transparent rolling whitewashed looking center, he said, with these like blue auras that seemed to appear in the bedroom where him and his brother were sleeping.
Was there 10 of them?
I don't know. So like you said, it wasn't a whole bunch of them, but it's several of them. And then days after that, he says that they both recall that they were standing at the top. They have this memory of standing on top of the staircase with several of these 4.5 to 5 foot tall, ghostly looking figures standing either like around them or next to them.
I imagine, well, like when I read this, I imagined like predator camouflage on Little Grays. Right? Like they're ghostly in the sense that you can tell something. It's like when you're playing distortion. Halo and someone's got the active camo on, it's like
if you're looking,
if you're paying attention, you can see.
You see a little distortion on the wall, you're like, what was that?
Yeah. There's something right here.
And then boom, energy stored to the abdomen. Toast.
Yeah.
So they reported like some type of event, or there was a sensation where the ground changed underneath their feet. And they said that they found themselves on the top of the tree line on the edge of their property that they recognized. And then they were met by additional entities, and that these ones, these beings seemed to be somewhat like small, thin, and resembled the stereotypical gray, but they were a little bit different. And Tom kind of compares them as like their physical appearance was more human than what you would normally see, or probably like the archetypal gray that you would think of in your head. He said that these might have been some type of half human, half gray hybrid.
So it wasn't the alien with centipede feet.
Different. No. It's not the same aliens that they see later in 69. Which then kind of makes me think that if you have some sort of galactic federation, say you have aliens or UFOs that are working together, that or they have some sort of deal, I wonder if there's some sort of cross research where they're like, yeah, we have these ones tagged, right? Like we're researching these ones, and to not interfere with them as much, you should go and we should pick up the same ones.
Oh, so you're saying it's like the equivalent of both Canada and the U.S. studying J and K pod orcas.
Joint task.
Yes, yes, exactly. Right? Exactly.
All right, you guys get them in these months. We'll get them in these months. We'll share information, but like we don't want to do all the work.
What we find.
So.
Yeah, well, we don't want to get too many because we're trying to be as non-disruptive as we can. So pick up a couple hicks at a massive two shits.
Couple mass holes.
Now, Thomas also recalls from this event, the 1966 one, of being shown what seemed to be an image of 8 to 10 groups of galaxy clusters in the shape of a boot on a large screen inside the ship that they took him to. Now, the ship he described as being...
Did he remember to turn the boot at the very end to make sure the bubble doesn't pop?
Shoot the boot.
They've evolved. They don't use square TVs. Their TVs are boot shaped. Like all their monitors, that just...
That's the ideal, viewing device.
Yeah. Boot shaped, yeah. Hey, we don't know.
We don't know. Can't be certain.
They described this ship as being somewhat, had the external appearance of a giant turtle shell resting on the ground, which is similar to the accounts of what other reported claimed to see the UFO in 1969.
Where do you think Michael Bay got his idea for Ninja Turtles from? Turn them into fucking aliens.
Tom also says that these beings communicated with him somehow, perhaps telepathically, and that they told him that he was serving an important purpose for them as a participant in a biological study. They didn't tell him exactly what the study pertained to, but he believes that it was some type of gene splicing for their own benefit with a focus upon the human immune system and genetics.
That's what he thinks. That's what he thinks.
Yeah.
Like I want to make that very clear. Like they don't tell him that. He thinks that, they spliced my genes. They didn't take one look at that guy. You know, they didn't splice his genes with nothing. I do think everything though is like they're just studying him, like just the generation of family and stuff, like aging process, you know, disease, whatever, what have you. A generational study. And I think that's the important biological study, is that they're studying his family line to just gather as much information as possible on human genetics, whatever. They didn't do anything to Thom. If they did anything, they added that stupid H to his name. That's it. It's only spicy.
It's hybrid.
That's how you identify human hybrids, the spelling of their name.
That makes sense.
Stupid added letters.
Having said that, if you're a Patreon supporter, your name is Thomas with an H.
There, we love it.
We love you.
Yeah, well, Thomas.
Thomas, it's okay. The H is acceptable in Thomas, but when you say Tom, it's T-O-M.
Yeah.
Come Thom. On. Thom.
Now, Reed is probably, has the claim as being the most vocal witness of the 1969 Berkshire UFO event. But there were other people who supported his claim with, like we said, there were people who saw the UFO. There are people who claimed that they, the local radio station at the time had received phone calls from multiple witnesses about these strange lights appearing.
I'm curious about that because I've heard that account too, but since there's no record of that, nobody that was around. The only people that we know this from are the people that say they called the radio station.
Yeah,
well, that's it.
And then, the accounts of people who called the radio station, they'd be like, this crazy thing happened to me.
Call the fucking Caps. Yeah. I'm not a Cap.
Yeah, you know who would love this? The fucking WSBS would love this. Right? It's ludicrous to me that, that part of the story, I was like, why? Why are you calling the fucking radio?
It was a different time back then.
They also didn't call the police, though, did they, Dan?
We don't know. We don't have records of that.
Yes, we do. There was no record.
Police know. Like, if you call the radio station, I mean, they have weathermen. They have people. They would have.
Yeah, because you think you're getting fucking invaded.
Oh, maybe.
Let's call the guys with guns.
But you know, some people dig into that. And be like, the radio records were destroyed. Is that convenient or not? And I'm like, well, was there records from the day before, or day after? And they're like, no. They're like, was there a record from that year? No.
I just got taken up to a scary fucking lab room and sedated and then dropped back down the ground. I don't need motherfucking Kenneth Storm, the weatherman, to help me the fuck out. I need the police.
Hey, WSBS, something happened in the skies. I need to know. Hold on. Fuck you. I won't do what you tell me.
For 24 hours.
That's why they were protesting.
But along with these other witnesses that claim to have seen the UFO, Reed actually convinced them to pool their money together and erect a 5,000 pound concrete monument in 2015 to mark the event.
Yeah, it was it was right at the park, right at
it
the
was
pack.
A legit, it was pack. A legit monument. Like, it is a big fucker.
And it's like, it's funny because it, they got, everyone at the time supported this thing.
Yeah, everyone. It had a plaque on it from then Governor Charlie Barker's office that read in part, "This governor's citation in recognition of the off-world incident on September 1st, 1969, which engaged the Reed family, which has been established." So it was actually put like on there, you know, endorsed by the governor at the time. They said that they had taken the proper, paperwork to get this thing installed in right near that bridge where the event was said to have occurred.
Yeah.
Now, after they placed it, like as soon as they placed it, a couple weeks later, officials said that it had been placed on town property. Whereas before they had said that, no, this was private property owned by a farmer that lived in the area, like one of the, yeah. They owned the farmland in the area. It was private property. But then they did, like a couple weeks later, I guess they had another survey team come in and they said, no, we have to move it. So this 5,000 pound, they had to move this 5,000 pound concrete block again.
They didn't have to move it. They didn't have to. The reasoning they said was that this group and the foundation didn't follow proper procedures to have a monument erected. So they didn't want to set a precedent where if someone wanted to erect a 5,000 pound monument, they could just do it and put it wherever the fuck they wanted. So like, we have to move it because you didn't follow any of the proper procedures. They then contacted the governor and was like, "Hey, you kind of put your stamp on this." He's like, "Did I?"
No. Yeah, just blind signing. They put a paper on his thing. He's like, "Hey, I don't
know. Sign it away.
You guys promise you're going to vote?"
Yeah. And then, so like they argued with like Tom and stuff for a while, but like, okay, well, we got to remove this. And then like they removed it like with the taxpayers' money.
No, they said they moved it 30 feet. They moved it 30 feet.
But they refused to disclose how much that cost.
Yeah. They didn't tell them how much it cost. So some people had said that the marker was detracting from the beauty of the historical replica of that 180-year-old bridge, that we said that had burnt up in 1994, and then they rebuilt it, and then they had this marker moved 30 feet.
The view's way over. Better.
And then in 2017, they also installed two benches and light fixtures were added to the area. Although one bench is not there anymore. They have one bench.
They didn't pay for the plaque renewal fee and they demolished it.
I guess so. So then in 2018, they conducted another land survey and the town found that the memorial, as well as that bench and the lighting decorating the area, was still on this town, what they said is a town right-of-way easement and had to be removed.
How bad are the initial surveyors that they keep getting it wrong every time? Like, actually, yeah. It's still on an easement. Like, well, we checked with the city whatever it was so many years ago. They're like, yeah, that guy had a bad day. I guess he didn't do a good job. So
why don't they just be honest with these guys? Why don't they just be honest with them? This thing's fucking hideous. We want it out of here.
Get rid of it.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not, it's just a slab of concrete.
Yeah, it looks like shit.
It's a concrete pillar that someone made in their backyard.
So they tried to contact the owners of, they couldn't figure out who owned it. Or that's what they said. Like the town board couldn't figure out who owned it. They said that if you don't move it, essentially they said, if the owners don't move it, we will move it at cost to the taxpayers. Like you're going to have to, the town's going to have to pay for it.
If I was the owner of that and I was like, yeah, you do it then.
Yeah. Taxpayers money. Okay.
Why would I do it?
And yeah. That's what happened. So in 2019, workers removed that monument along with the bench. And then the current location of that monument is unknown. It's gone.
Someone just has it in their backyard now.
I don't know where it is. That's crazy. You take a 5,000 pound like concrete block. What you fucking do with it?
I'll tell you where it's on.
Gary's got it.
Yeah, it's on its way to the Museum of Weird in Austin. Yeah. Yeah,
but I mean, they already have. They already. I was reading one news article. Where they said they already have a display, and in the National UFO in Roswell, they've got like a National UFO Museum or whatever over there,
and they have
They have a whole thing commemorating the Berkshire UFO incident. But I'm like, where's this 5,000 concrete block? Did they just fucking toss it like in the river over there? Like the Housatonic River? They just chucked it in there. It's just sitting there at the bottom. Oh man, it's so goofy that they just like take that thing out. But so now instead of this, well, 5,000 pound concrete block, I guess there's a memorial park there now. There, like I mentioned the website before, Thomas Reed has a website for this park where they've had at least one wedding occur, you know, in the memorial park. To
Was it an off-world wedding?
I mean, technically not, because it was in the, I mean, the park's on Earth.
It was on Earth, so no.
So no. Yeah, and it's, yeah, you can actually go there and visit it if you're ever there in the town. It is on TripAdvisor. Like, it is on TripAdvisor. And if you give a less than stellar review, Thomas Reed personally might just respond to your comments as he did the last two most recent.
Is this like a, what did he say? It's like Rick Dyer.
You got to read them. Yeah.
Hold on. Pull them up here real quick.
Okay. So first one is by Jane P. From the region of Waterloo, Canada. She says she gave it 3 out of 5 dots, whatever that is. And in TripAdvisor says, tiny park with two plaques, not worth a detour, but okay if you happen upon it. It's from May 2021.
I feel like that's a very honest review.
She says, tiny park with two plaques and a rock with the words, I believe, painted on it. No monument. Not sure what this was or what happened. Park is adjacent to a covered bridge on a road off Route 7. Do not trust your GPS app if it tells you to take multiple side roads. You will arrive at site, but only after driving an extremely rutted dirt road. Instead, look for a road off Route 7. The setting is pretty, she says.
It's a good review. Honest review. So
Reasonable.
3 out of 5. Well, Tom Reed says, he apologized. He says,
Tom Reed says, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Tom Reed of UFO Monument Park. That's what it is. That's what it's designated. I'm sorry if you had anticipated something more. It is an extraordinary place with a remarkable history, a spot we look after and keep true to form, as not to see it spoiled with gift shops and high-priced green milkshakes. In total, there are 6 donated benches, 6 solar lights, a sculpture, and a historic marker, over a dozen plaques, and a round picnic table, as was just donated by Melanie from Unsolved Mysteries, Berkshire's UFO. It is growing, and that we do hope to have the outdoor telescope by October 2021.
And we also just got a Bebsy machine installed.
Bebsy.
So suck it, Nancy, or whatever your name is.
I want to know where these green milkshakes are being.
Yeah, I want to go to the other place.
Is that where, like, is that the thing to do?
Talking about Shamrock Shakes?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm like, is that the thing to do at the at UFO hotspots? Like, they sell overpriced green milkshakes? If so, I didn't know about that.
I would
go to fucking Charlie Land. Charlie Red Star? That fucking place was wicked.
Oh, yeah.
They sell green beer there, though. It's way better.
I'm all about it.
I mean, yeah, she mentioned the marker, but the marker had already been, the monument had already been removed. So it's just the park now with the, I guess the over a dozen plaques, according to Tom Reed. There's a second review by Firewire Diver. He also gave it 3 out of 5. Monument has been removed. This is from October 2019. So he had just missed it, I guess. Who doesn't love alien abduction stories? Sadly, the concrete monument has been removed, apparently under some scandal in the newspaper in early 2019. However, the bridge, which is one of the oldest covered bridges, remains. And on the other side of the bridge, on the far side of the bridge, is a new sign commemorating the Reed's experience. A short distance past the bridge is an eerie crop field. Coincidence? Not sure you believe the story. Look it up on YouTube. We are not alone, he says.
Nothing wrong with that review.
Well, Tom Reed says, the town of Sheffield installed the monument in 2015 via the DPW and a Boston law firm, but for unknown reasons, Nadine, he calls her out, a Sheffield selectman put the town in a vulnerable position when she lied to the papers asserting Reed installed the monument. Nadine later confessed and a new park centerpiece was added in 2019. See documents at www.ufopark.org.
You tell him, Thom.
Yeah.
So he called out Nadine, the selectman. Those are the only ones. There's a couple other reviews, but those are the only two that I guess Tom saw fit to respond to. It's the park is a project that is close to his heart, or I guess he that's something important to him. And he has been, I guess, yeah, they mentioned in one of those reviews, or he said in the, one of the comments about installing a outdoor telescope. I think that's a project that's still in progress. I think it's a work in progress that they're planning to install a telescope there, which would be actually be pretty neat.
That'd be cool. Glue together a couple fucking toilet paper rolls. You got yourself a telescope.
Yeah. Oh, no, we'll upgrade a little bit. We'll use... wrapping paper.
Oh, wrapping even better.
Nice long
and then when you're done, you can use them as swords.
See? Multi-purpose.
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll upgrade a little farther. We'll take those wrapping paper tubes and we'll coat them in like a clear nail polish so they're a little more waterproof so they last a little longer.
Get some papier-mâché around.
We should figure out how we could send them to them.
Yeah, I would be. I'll put in the work. We could do that.
We'll take it even farther. We'll even tape a magnifying glass to the end of the tube. And you do have a little bit of a telescope.
Can we add one of those things where you turn it like does the kaleidoscope kind of thing?
Yes, we can.
I'm pretty sure Tom Reed does some speaking tours now. I guess he's on the UFO circuit as well, sharing his story with other UFO aficionados and experts and whatnot. But yeah, think they're still working on this part.
Can we get him on the show?
I think Tom Warner was on another UFO show just a little while ago.
Yeah, listen, anytime we get a multi-generational alien contactee, it's a big get, boys. Even he said his kid's getting fucking abducted too now. Right? It's the whole family.
So it is it is an interesting... this
it's
one
funny
is pretty,
because literally on the beer break, you're like, I could get my kid to do or say anything I want. Anything I want. I just say, you're going to Toys R Us after.
Yeah.
Do this for me.
Two popsicles.
And I want to get him to the pickle baby dance.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny. It is an interesting case though, because it does bring back that theme of like, perhaps if we're being visited, the researchers are coming down and they're tagging us. They're tagging families to study the genes of these family lines. So I'm not saying they're special. There's no reason for it. They're just randomly selected, right?
And but not only that, though. Like, when have we had an encounter this large? Like, this is kind of like, reminds me of like that aerial school encounter we did, right? Like, you don't really get these mass encounters.
Where people are seeing the lights, seeing stuff.
A lot of these people had these... you know, came forward with these encounters around the time that Unsolved Mysteries came to town. So it's, you know, that's where, and the biggest thing that the problem that I have with it is the fact that there's no written record anywhere. Like there's no police reports. There's nothing from the news station that was supposedly called. There is nothing. Just a giant stone fucking thing.
They went back to like the archives of the newspapers and everything. And there was just.
Yeah. Nothing. And like, anything. And like when you were saying, Brandon, at the beginning, you're like, this is a huge encounter. This is a huge event. This is super popular. And it's like, but it's not. Like, it is a big event, but it's not popular. Like, you don't hear about this very often. It's not, there's no books written about it. There's no literature. And I wonder if that's because there is no like hard, like, you know, not, I don't want to say evidence because a lot of stuff we don't talk about doesn't have a lot of evidence. But
hard evidence. Like,
hard evidence. Yeah.
Hard.
Had. Doesn't have any had evidence.
Because in the Unsolved Mysteries episode, they even went to like, and they contacted one of the, like the radio DJs from the time. They're like, I got calls or whatever, but I just didn't think anything of it. So I never even bothered to pass it on or
play the recording. It's because he was a CIA shill.
My thing is a lot of these people, if you look into their backgrounds and stuff, some were lawyers, some were like, you know, respected members of the community. It seems like a weird thing to lie about. Like if I went right now and I was like, I could 100% talk Mr. Conspiracy into it, but maybe Papa Conspiracy, but Mama Conspiracy would not go along with it if me lying about a UFO abduction. And I'll tell you, my grandma would have not either. And my grandma on my other side, like my Nana, she would have hit me with a shoe. There's no way. Actually, she maybe.
The whole family's multi-generational contactees. The mom is, the brother is. Like, they're all in on it.
I find that a hard thing. It's one of the reasons why I believe this story is because I'm like, why lie? Why make this up? It's such a weird thing to have like a, like the opposing side of this is that you have a generational
Because you've been indoctrinated into it. Yeah. Raised of, it. Your mom's told you, oh, I've been abducted. So
of liars. So you're all liars. You all know this is not to be true.
I'm not saying it. I'm not necessarily.
But no, I'm saying this is the other side of the coin. If we're not going to believe them, the other thing we have to believe is that every single person in this family is a liar.
But what if they did, like, there are a lot of people that do encounter some pretty spectacular, remarkable things in their life that aren't necessarily aliens, but we still don't have an answer for it. Right? So you've already know your mom's already been abducted. She's told you stories about it. So this something happens to you as a small child. That's where your fucking head's going to go for sure. You're going to be like, oh, we got paranormally activated by aliens. That's got to be what it is. Right? Mm. Right. And then,
but they don't, it's not like
it's
this
called
story,
bandwagon syndrome, right?
There's no benefit really. It's not like,
yeah, you just got on TV.
There's no, it's not like they're rolling in dough now.
Doesn't matter though, but you're still like, you get to be a part of a fucking show when they come to town being like, you know what? I think I did see something in 1969. Now come to think of it.
The only thing is like really like the 2015 when stuff kind of starts popping. If you go back on this one, like usually I can find like little bits and pieces, like local newspapers have talked about it or something like that. I can usually find like some stuff archived about an event, like some little mention in a newspaper column from back then or something. This one seems to kind of blow up around 2015. I guess it's probably around the same time that they started talking about the Netflix reboot, which I will say, at least I haven't watched all of them, but just watching the one about this one, without Robert Stack, that shit sucks. Like, I'm not. Like, you don't have Robert Stack's voice in there telling me if you or anyone that you know has any information concerning blah, 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 and giving me the number. Like, I don't. Like, you just put it up there in text. Like, come on, man. Dude.
Like, they couldn't have, like, fucking got his voice just to do it.
Just got somebody, anybody to read that off because they just put it up in text at the end. Yeah. If anyone you know has information, I'm like, hey, like that's weird. Like I still hear it in Robert Stack's voice. Like I still hear it like in my head, but it's
not the same.
You know, it's not the same. You know, I just, yeah. I don't know.
What if you're blind? What if you're blind? You like to listen to the show.
Like the Tom Werner account, didn't really come out until get popularized till around the same time. But I mean, he said that
it's such a weird thing though to me. It's such a weird thing for me to be like, hey, you were my babysitter. Do you want to tell? Okay, I'm going to tell them that I was sprinting in Spa, and then we'll make up this big story. It just seems so weird to me that I get there's weird people that do weird shit.
They both kind of describe different stories, both of them too. And she's like, what she said she saw is just looked like he was running forever. She said for 5 minutes straight, it looked like he was running
in the air. Yeah.
Maybe fucking Tommy Wiseau is pretty fucking slow. All right. And maybe this area is pretty fucking flat. Yeah. All right. Or maybe he's just doing the Scooby-Doo.
He's just spinning his tires.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just that, like, and I when I hear these accounts, and I look at, there's two sides of the story. We're gonna believe these, we're believing this account, or like the opposite side is that like all these people would have to be are just fame hungry liars that are all working on a lie together. And I'm like honestly, if I was like, hey guys, I'm gonna get news, I could not convince all four of you guys to make up a story with me.
How much you paying?
Absolutely. We make up stories all the time.
Zell, I'd have on board 100%.
How much you paying?
Dan, I think, is the only guy you'd have a problem with.
I don't think Dan would go up. But that's right it. There goes to my
so
point.
Then you cut him.
Right? You cut him.
Then you fucking cut him.
Right? But then Dan would come out and Dan would say, like, these guys are full of shit.
Dan wouldn't give a shit. Well, because you weren't there. You don't know what we're talking about. Hey, Dan, where were you on Labor Day 1969 in fucking Bashir or whatever? Fuck. Yeah.
Berkshire.
Yeah, Berkshire.
I will say this though. It does, like I said at the very beginning, it does have the claim of being one of the few events to be officially recognized by a town historical society as an official off-world event that occurred.
Something happened.
Like, something happened.
What they're meaning is something happened in 1969 that they can't explain. There's enough accounts that they're going, this happened.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking weird.
To our little sleepy town.
Hey, I mean,
that we really want people to come visit. So whatever.
But
it takes.
Do you? Because you got rid of the monument.
Yeah, do you really want?
Do you really want people to visit?
Well, we thought it was a good idea. Thing. And then the fucking monument got here and was like, this is a mistake.
Just should have made a better statue.
We should invest in Charlie Land instead.
I know it has a lot of similarities to many other cases.
Some of these people that are lying about this are like I said, lawyers, politicians.
What do you mean, lawyers and politicians? What?
All liars. But some people are like reputable people, like held, you know, community positions of high regard, and it's like they're just going to make this up.
Did they?
It's.
I mean, this all really stems from the reads, and then we get into it after the fucking Netflix special when people start coming forward with these stories. But hey, man, I can't disprove it. It's pretty wild. I just have questions. That's it.
Hey, in these cases, there's a lot of questions, but a lot of the stuff does, you know, it resembles a lot of other cases. The initial missing time, the whole car being abducted and then being put back, and the grandma's in the driver's seat, but like they fucked up.
I just wonder why they put the car in the opposite direction. Like, why would you bother to do that?
You know what? I'm going back on my first one of they forgot. They're just fucking with us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hilarious.
They put it back and like, turn them around. Put the gram in the driver's seat.
Yeah, exactly. Mix them up.
This will be funny. They're not going to know what happened. But we will. And that's funny
for us. Let's make the only one that knows how to drive still sleeping. They can't wake her up. Mm. It's the best part.
See what happens. We're going to study this.
Yeah. You guys ever play with crash test dummies before? I don't know. I'm going to fucking try it.
Yeah. Fun case, though. It's cool to look into.
It's very interesting. I love when UFO cases like that get, you know, hit that mainstream, like, you know, of Netflix and stuff. That's cool. It's, you know, I remember watching this. I watched it a while ago and then getting to watch it again. It's cool to see these stories getting in the forefront, you know.
Well, it's the ultimate. It's the ultimate story to lure people in. Like visitors from a different world, galaxy, solar system, dimension, whatever, are coming here and are interested enough in us to abduct us, analyze, probe, and put back, or whatever they're doing. Like it's fun. That's why we keep looking at these stories. They're all fun, and until you actually find someone caught this on CCTV or like something you can actually go back and look at. I mean, you can say that about any case. It's a cold case. There's no real leads. Yeah,
we have no answers.
No answers.
Mind-boggling.
So if you have answers and you want to let us know, make sure.
Yeah.
If you know something,
you are anyone in the you know.
Has any information. Contact us at 1-833-703-0424 every other Sunday.
We'll spread the truth.
Let us know what you think.
Let us know.
Find us on socials, Instagram, Facebook. Find our post about the Berkshire UFO. Let us know what you think.
Watch the Unsolved Mysteries. Tell us if you don't mind missing Robert Stack. That sweet theme. They don't even use the theme for it.
It's a new theme, but it's the same, but different.
I love our Unsolved Mysteries ATT logo. Maybe we'll bring that back next month.
Oh, yeah. That was a sharp logo. Yeah,
that was a sharp logo.
Until we get sued for it.
We'll never get sued for it. It's different colors.
That's true.
The colors are just off.
We're too slick.
Yeah, too slick.
Anyways, who do we got this week for Theorite of the Week?
Zell, I thought you had it.
You picked it, Zell. I can find it real quick.
I picked it. I have it in the notes, and someone else always reads it every time I ask. But I'll read it. I'll read it.
That's fine. Sorry, man.
That's
sorry.
Fine. I'll read it. It's Josh Wright, and he...
Woo!
He made a, it's kind of a reused meme, but that doesn't mean it didn't make us laugh. It's the Hank and Peggy Hill. Fucking Hank is Braden looking at the computer. Oh. It looks like Bobby's been using our credit card on something called Patreon. One guy's name is an alien theorist. So that made us chuckle a little bit. So I know it's a reused meme. We don't usually take the reused memes, but that one made us chuckle.
Damn it, Bobby. That's pretty funny.
Pretty funny.
I'd laugh.
So, Josh Wright.
Congratulations, Josh.
You're right.
Squeaked
one in past us. Every once in a while, reused meme can get
through. Lightning doesn't strike twice, except when it does.
Don't think you're getting a two-time using a reused meme, though. You got to up your game for the next one.
Yeah.
All right. And if you're not supporting the show, We say it every week. And you want 1 week early to all case files, access to the Discord, all the bonus content, the single best way to support the show is through Patreon. So alientheorist.com, click the link. Come on. What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
Every month we say, oh, I've been listening to you guys for years. I finally took the plunge and finally supported you guys.
What are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for? Come on.
All right. I see my name.
Yeah, you got it.
To do it? I got it. All right. So we got Tyler Tolfson, Megs, Scott LePage, Jackson Pomeroy, Ryan Taylor.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, go for it.
Marlevolent.
Nice.
Marlevolent.
Well, that's good. Right? That's good shit.
You like that? Professor Booty.
Probably. That's a fucking good one.
Keith Wright. And Michael Wielgus.
Hell yeah. We also got Zach Jones. Is that Eugene? Is that how you say Eugene?
That's how you say Eugene.
Yeah. Manny the Great. This might take the cake for longest name ever on Patreon. Jacob makes more binoculars in UV room than Eric Lashchuk Maples.
Okay.
Must be having a battle, I guess.
All right.
Grimnar and Bud Stuffins.
Bud
Stuffins. He's back. I remember that name from a couple months ago. Thank you very much for supporting the show.
And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
See you in After Hours.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.